Now, January isn't quite over with. I know we're sort of at the tail end, and about this time last year, at the beginning of January, Paul and I had distributed either devotional books or like a scripture reference book for you, and they were small ones, small enough that we were able to put them in your mailbox. And none of them were the same, and that was kind of fun. I mean, the four or five of them may have been the same, but what I'm saying is it wasn't everyone receiving the exact same thing. And so we really tried to tailor fit that gift for you last year. I really hope that you have accessed those and that you have used those throughout the year. If you forgot about it, it's kind of dusty and it's underneath something, maybe you want to dig it out and pick it up and use it this year. But we wanted to do something a little different this year, and we kind of sat and thought about it, and what do? Do we give books again? We thought, no, because we already did the Battlefield of the Mind and now devotional books. So we decided, as we reflected on you as a whole, as a church, and as we reflected on the individual journeys that you have all been going through, we feel that God is really placing us on individual quests. So we're going to begin this year, 2020, with an individual quest challenge. And I'm going to explain and give the rationale for it in just a little bit. What we would like you to do, what we challenge you to do, is to listen. And I know you do this all the time, but really, really focus on listening to the voice of God in your life. Just say, this is one thing I'm going to do, and I want you to pick out one word or one phrase that God has been impressing upon you. And husbands, this may be different from what your wife finds. Kids, this may be different from what your brother or sister pick out. Think of one word that God is impressing upon you that you either want to learn more about or you just feel that this is the story of my life right now and I want to see scripturally where it works, with whom it works scripturally, and grow from that. What is one word or one phrase that keeps cropping up that you really haven't studied yet but think you could? And I'd like you to take that word or that phrase and study it either from now till Easter. I think that would be a reasonable time. But if you feel that God still has you growing in that area, take it through the summer. Take it through the fall. Take it to the end of the year. See how far God takes you with this one word or this one phrase. In the back of the sanctuary, in the overflow room, you'll see there's a round table right before you hit the mailboxes, and I have a clipboard there. And what I'd like you to do is to join me. I've written down my name, and I have written down the word that I feel God is impressing upon for me this year. It's an abstract word. It's not a concrete word, and it's one that I feel that he wants to stretch me with. And the way I came up with this word is I went to the back of my index, and I just started looking at word. What are word themes in the Bible? And one really struck me, and I thought, that's the word. That's the word I need to study. Now, the purpose of you writing it down is so that we can encourage one another. For example, my word is perspective. I found at least five major entries in the Bible on that word, and I can't wait to dig in. I think someone else is choosing the word courage. I think somebody else is choosing the word trust. I don't know that for a fact. I just think those were things that I heard. But I want us to encourage one another. In fact, as you write down your word, look to see what other people are studying. And as you find information, let's say somebody else is doing courage, somebody else is doing trust, as you find maybe a devotion, or you find a quote, or you find something that you think is applicable, maybe it's something really funny, something that they'd really appreciate, feel free to put it in their mailbox and just encourage them. You can put your name on it, or you don't need to, you can keep it, you can kind of keep it anonymous if you want. But I think this will be an interesting way, and I've done this before in my own life, and I know how effective it is. The second thing I'd like you to do is not only to pick a word and write it down, but I would like you to keep chart of what it is you're learning. Now, some people like to journal. I was at CVS yesterday, and no, I didn't buy clothes there like I usually do. Oh, I take that back. I actually did get a little sweater. I didn't want to lie to you. But I also found this journal. It's a cool little zipper thing. So if I just want to toss something in there, I can. But I'm going to do my word study in this journal. Now, you may not be a writer. You may want to keep it. You may want to do like a lot of you are on Facebook. You could do memes. You could collect them there. You could blog online. You could, put it in an envelope, wherever you want to do it, but kind of keep track of what is it that you're learning as you're going along, that God is having you learn. So as you're privately recording this, also please be sharing with one another. You know, I'm hoping that in Sunday school classes we start hearing about these words that you're learning. What journey has God put you on? Last week, the choir sang the song Ancient Words, and I know I read the words to you during the announcements that Sunday, and we had those same words in the call to worship, those same words. When we sang that song, even at practice, I just had chills, and I just felt it was God's calling that we really listen to his words, and that each of us pick a different word and see where that leads us.
God's words make a difference in our lives. It is the power and majesty of God revealed to us. And the message to each one of us is the same. We get the same message from the sermon, yet the journey for each of us is different. Therefore, God's word is revealed at different places, at different times, for each of us. As you find your word or the phrase that you want to use to be mindful of this year, I hope that you share your journey with Cheryl and me. But even more importantly, we want to overhear you share with one another. Or we hope you're emailing or texting or Facebooking or telephone calls, whatever God is bringing to your life in a way of this special word or phrase. The Apostle John knew the power of words. He understood clearly how God speaks through the word, which is one of the main reasons why we encourage new believers to begin with the book of John. John immediately makes room for the Holy Spirit when he begins his gospel. And this is how it starts. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things came into being through him, and without him, not one thing came into being. The books of Isaiah that comes from the Old Testament and the book of Hebrews from the New Testament both restate one another. This is what Isaiah 55:11 says. So shall my word be that goes out from my mouth, it shall not return empty, but it shall accomplish that which I purpose and succeed in the thing for which I sent. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 12 reads, indeed, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing until it divides soul from spirit, joints from marrow. It is able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart. And before him no creature is hidden, but all are naked and laid bare to the eyes of the one to whom we must render an account. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 17 says, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God.
Now, this is where I could have inserted that entire piece that we did as the lesson that focused on the loin belt. The loin belt was the written Word of God, truth, the belt of truth, the written Word of God. But here we have the sword, which is the Spirit, the spoken Word of God, which I found was interesting. Now, I know that with our brethren sentiments, we hold back on military images. So I'm not trying to make too much of this, although I do want to honor, how many veterans do we have here? We have veterans here. We have one, two, three, four, at least four veterans in the church. So, yes, so we want to honor what you do. The fact that we back off on military images is simply because as a church, we try to honor peace as first means always. If we can always have peace, that we try to dialogue and that we try not to participate in the military. But we honor you. I don't want you to think we ever don't. The peace pole out here again is another thing that shows that Church of the Brethren, Mennonite, Quakers take for overall a peace stance. But that being said, folks, we cannot ignore this. We have two scriptures here that describe the Word of God compared to a sword. And it's not found just in the New Testament. It's also found in the Old Testament, as Paul read. And according to the Greek language, which was the original language of the New Testament, the Greek word, and I find the studies fascinating, the Greek word for sword is machara. Machara. Machara was a short dagger that was intensely sharp on both edges of the blade, and it was used for close combat, and it was deadly. That's what the Word of God is being compared to in the Old Testament and the New Testament. When Jesus was tempted by Satan while in the desert, and that was following his baptism prior to his ministry, he used the Word of God, the words of his Heavenly Father, to battle Satan. Every temptation that Jesus received, he combated, he answered using the Word of God, machara. Now, the further study of the Greek language shows that the phrase, do you see how I'm doing word and phrase? The phrase, the Word of God, or even just the Word itself, is rhema, which you heard in the other reading, well, the section that Paul was reading, which means quickened word. Therefore, when we read Ephesians 6, putting on the whole armor of God, you can actually translate, and I love this piece, Ephesians 6, 17 can be translated as saying, the Spirit will place a razor-sharp sword at your disposal anytime the enemy gets too close. Don't you love that? The sword's power will be available the very moment the Spirit quickens. Do you see where that word quickens comes in? The power will be available the very moment the Spirit quickens a specific word for a specific situation that you are facing. So what exactly does the book of Job have to do with all this? We had the book of Job read by our worship leader. In the book of Job, for 41 chapters, we witness the agonizing journey of Job's life. He does not understand what's happening to him. His friends don't understand what's going on, and his wife is clueless. Job loses everything. Everything earthly, he loses. In the final chapter, chapter 42, I just can't get over how many chapters are in there, how much agony this man goes through. Chapter 42, finally, Job gets it. He finally understands. But he only understands because of everything he's been through. He finally gets it. He understands God better than he did before all of his trials. He understands God better now than he did when life was much easier. And I know I'm talking right to Casey when I say that, because we were back there talking that exact same thing. He said, you know, before my head injury, I knew God, but I couldn't preach God. I couldn't share God. But after my injury, it just spilled from my mouth the glories of God and how much I love him, how much he's helped me through. My testimony came after I walked through my trials. And that was true with Job. In verses 5 and 6 of this chapter 42, Job states that he has heard God and that he has seen God with his own eyes. And that wasn't before the trials, that was during his trials. In fact, in verse 1 of that chapter, he declares that he knows now that God can do all things. He knows that now. Took him a long time, but he got there. And he also learned that God's purpose will be achieved, whether he understands it or not. God's purpose will be achieved. And I love the fact that because of Job, we can gain strength through his journey, and we can learn through his lessons learned at the end of his trials.
Cheryl and I are encouraging you to listen to the Holy Spirit in your life. We encourage you to select a word to study or a phrase, one that God has presented or will present to you as you face life and life's trials. Only God knows exactly what each of us is facing. Only God knows what scriptures will best defeat any spirit of doubt, anger, or disbelief that may attack you this year. But let's not fool ourselves. Yes, God is providing us a tool for victorious living, but yes, we also may learn something about ourselves as we study our word or phrase. We may discover things. We may discover that we have some stinking thinking to get through, as Joyce Meyer would say. Or we may discover that we have a bias or prejudice or perception that needs to change. And yes, there is a third option or reason why God may impart a special word or phrase to you. It may be for God to validate who you are, or simply to remind you how much he loves you. The word or phrase may be a gift of love to you. Love changes it, doesn't it? It softens our rough edges. It makes us kinder to those around us. And love causes us to pause before angry or unloving words slip through our lips. Love changes us. Our call to worship this morning called for us to understand the effects of God's word upon our lives. just reading a little bit of it. Ancient words ever true, changing me and changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. And Bob, you didn't realize how often that was going to be used after last Sunday. And Bob always comes up with excellent songs for our choir to sing and for us to really think about. Through this exercise, we are allowing God to plant his word into our hearts and into our lives. When we speak his word aloud, we honor God. Let's remind ourselves of Isaiah chapter 55, verse 11. And I'm reading it out of a different translation. The translation is called The Rock, starting with verse 10. The rain and snow come down from the heavens. Ah, we certainly saw that yesterday, didn't we? And stay on the ground to water the earth. They cause the grain to grow, producing seed for the farmers and bread for the hungry. It is the same way with my word. I send it out and always produces fruit. It will accomplish all I want it to, and it will prosper everywhere I send it. God's word will not return to him empty. It will accomplish what he purposes if we are open to his will. And his purpose will succeed.
So let's take the simple course of action. Let us first come to God with open hearts, ready to hear his message. Then let us listen for a word or a phrase that God may have in store for us this year. Then let us take that word or phrase, let's take that seriously and allow the Holy Spirit to let it marinate in our lives, let it soak in, let it see how it seasons and works to purpose in our life. And then let's record it and share it with others. We encourage you to encourage one another in your spiritual walk, in your spiritual journey. I just want to let you know the 4 years prior, I guess it was about the year or two prior to Paul and I spending 4 years in Alaska. I don't know if any of you were there, but I was the guest speaker for the annual Northern Indiana Women's Retreat. I was the guest speaker once at Napanee, and then there was another church. I don't know where the other church was. I'll have to look it up. But I recall at that other church, it wasn't at the Napanee. That was a blooming in the garden kind of theme. But this one, the other church, was I was doing a study on grace. God had put that word on my heart, and I'd been studying it for a year. It kept coming back to me in different forms, as a verb, as a noun, as something I can do, as something that God shows. I knew that I needed to impart more grace to others in my life, and I felt that I just simply needed to understand the word better. Now, on February 9th, that's in 2 weeks, I'm going to be giving a portion of that day-long message so that you can see the journey I took with seeing where God was taking me with this word of grace. But for now, we just want you to open your hearts to God and see what he has for you. And one more time with the ancient words lyrics. Holy words, long preserved for our walk in this world, they resound with God's own heart. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Words of life, words of hope, give us strength, help us cope. In this world, where'er we roam, the ancient words will guide us home. Ancient words, ever true, changing me, changing you. We have come with open hearts. Oh, let the ancient words impart. Amen.